You have your Bibles, we turn to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 25. The Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 25. Our text tonight will be from the verse 32 of this chapter, speaking of the great separation that is going to come. It says, and before him, that is Christ, of course, shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The great and the final separation. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for help to preach this word. We pray, Lord, that by thy Spirit, thou wilt even apply thy word to the hearts of the unconverted. We pray tonight thou wilt show them the danger that they're in. Danger of being lost, not just for time, but being lost in hell for all eternity. And show them that there is a great Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. And give them that grace to turn tonight and to put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And may they behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Give us help now to preach the word you've laid upon our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 32, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. No doubt about it tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth sometime in the future. This truth is found in his promises. In John 14 and verse 3, as he was taking his leave from his disciples, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you on to myself. And so the Lord Jesus promises that he will come again. Speaking here to his disciples, he left them in no doubt. Yes, I will be going away from you. Yes, I am going to return to the Father. But I want you to know this, he said, I will come again. This truth is found in the promises of Christ. It's also found in the prophets. The Old Testament prophets knew something of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah 14 and verse 4, the prophet said, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And even way, way back, friends, in the Old Testament, the prophets were preaching. And the prophets were prophesying. And what were they prophesying about? Well, their message was very plain. And their message was very simple. That Christ shall come again. And he's coming to stand upon the Mount of Olives. And he's coming right to the very city of Jerusalem. And so the truth is found also in the prophets. It's found in numerous passages in the New Testament. You can read the writings of the Apostle Paul. And there are many, many times in his epistles he told them the great truth that Christ was coming again. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10 he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And he's writing to this church. And he's telling here something about the position that they're in. He says, well, here where we are at this period of time, we're waiting. And what were they waiting for? Well, he says, we're waiting. And we're waiting and we're waiting for his Son from heaven. What's he saying? Jesus is coming again. Christ is coming back again. We find Peter, the disciple of the Lord, in 1 Peter 5 verse 4 said, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, and there he had this hope, this truth, this was burning in his heart. He's saying here, when the chief shepherd shall appear, what's he saying to his readers? Writing to this epistle to those who were scattered abroad. Well, it's very, very plain what he's writing. He's saying to this people, Christ shall appear. Christ is coming back. He has promised he's coming back. And one day he shall appear. We think of John, the beloved disciple that lay in the bosom of Christ. He said in Revelation 1 and verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. John had it all, friends. He had the grasp of this great truth. Christ shall come again. And he says, behold, look at this truth. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Not just some eye. Not just a certain group of people. What he says here, every eye shall see him, every one who's alive on that day when Christ comes will see the coming of Christ. Remember James, in James 5 and verse 8, he says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And this truth, this doctrine, friends, it was in the hearts of all of these men. This truth was always before their mind. It was always before their heart. And what was this? That Christ was coming. Christ is coming again. I asked you tonight, well, when's the last time you thought about the coming of Christ? Have you considered the coming of Christ today? In the past week, have you considered that Christ will come again? In the past number of weeks since my absence in this church, have you thought that Jesus is coming? It was always before the minds of the apostles and the disciples. We do not know when the Lord is coming back. In Matthew 24 verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We don't know. Now, we do know many people in the past has made predictions. Many has said, well, that Christ will come in such and such a time. Maybe I told you a story one time when I was in Australia in the 1991 to 1993. There was a man, I think it was in the city of Sydney, and he made a prediction. And he predicted that Christ will come on a certain night, even named the time, the hour, and the minute. And the news broadcast has got a hold of us. And when you put the news on leading up to this, they were interviewing this man, and he was dogmatic. And he says, well, you know, Christ will come, and he's coming at this night, and he's coming at this hour, and at this minute. He had it right down to the final minute. It could have been 2 o'clock in the morning. I just forget the time, but well, news too. Well, on that night, friends, the cameras and all were there, waiting for the coming of Christ. They interviewed different people. There are people who says, well, I have actually lost weight. They said, because I want to make sure the Lord gets me up when he comes. They interviewed this man, and he says, well, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe in it. But he said, just in case they're right, I thought I'd better turn up. And there they were all waiting, you see. And it came to near the time, and I remember the whole crowd standing at this particular time, 2 o'clock, and there were 10 seconds to go. And there they all went, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You'd have heard a pin drop. And Jesus didn't come. And the ungodly went out onto the streets of Sydney. And they held a party. And they drunk and they sinned. And they rejoiced. Because Jesus didn't come. But I tell you, friends, tonight Jesus is coming again. He is coming. He has promised in his word that he would come. The prophet spoke about it. The disciples spoke about it. Oh, what a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. The day of Christ's return is coming. What a day it's going to be. It's going to be a day of glorification. We find in the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17, how the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. And then this tells us about saints will rise and meet the Lord in the air. What a day that's going to be. Saints from every age who's in the grave, when Christ comes, the trumpet will sound, and they'll rise up out of the grave. And people who's alive in this earth will rise to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be changed in a moment, the Bible says. What a day that will be, friends. And the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. What a day that will be, friends. A day of glorification for the people of God. It's going to be a day of devastation as well, because the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7 to 9, talks about the Lord Jesus coming from heaven with his mighty angels. And here's what it said. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Now what a day this is going to be to the unsaved. The Lord Jesus is coming in flaming fire with his angels, and he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for them it is going to be a day of trouble and a day of wrath when Jesus comes. But it's also going to be a day, can I say, of separation. Our text really shows us this in the verse 32. All nations, all kindreds who's upon the earth at this time, when they come, the Lord Jesus will gather them all before them. And it tells us here, He shall separate them one from another. He shall separate them. All nations, kindreds and tongues are going to be separated by the hand of Christ. He's going to separate us. It is going to be a day of glorification. It's going to be a day of destruction. It's going to be a day of separation. Here it is, the coming of Christ in verse 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, friends. People from Africa, people from away down there in Australia, people from England, people from Scotland, people from Northern Ireland, people, friends, from the south of Ireland, different kingdoms, different colours, different tongues, shall all be gathered before Christ. What to do? He shall separate them. He shall separate them. It tells us in the verse 32, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The day, the great separation. And I want to speak about this separation that Christ will do, because I want to say, first of all, it's going to be a separation that will be fair. It will be a fair separation. Now, it will be fair because of the Saviour. Now, we're told very plainly here in this passage that it will be Christ Himself who will take full responsibility for the separating of the saved and the unsaved. In verse 32, and He shall separate them one from another. Now, it's very simple, very plain. It tells us here, who will do the separating? All these nations gathered before Christ. Who is going to separate this people? Well, it tells us plainly, He shall do it. He's not going to leave it to the angels. Now, He brings His holy angels with Him. It's not going to be left to the ministers of the church. No, no, the Lord Jesus says, He is going to do it. This is a separation that's going to be fair. He's going to do it Himself. By the hand of Christ, the hand that was nailed to the cross, He will put some on the right hand side, He will put some on the left hand side, and He will do it Himself. And friends, there will be a fair separation. You see, it's hard to tell the difference between the sheep and the goats in the East. It is said that it is only by one who is trained with that trained eye that they can tell the difference. Same appearance, same appetite. And so one who was a shepherd and one who worked with him, he can tell the difference. And I want to say to you, friends, there are times it's hard to tell the difference between the saved and the unsaved. It is hard for some pastors of a congregation to say, well, I think that man is saved, but I'm not really sure. Or I think that woman's saved, but I'm not really sure. And there are sometimes the ministers of congregations is left in limbo concerning people in their congregations. They cannot tell the difference, you see. They don't really know at times for in the lives of some people whether they're saved or whether they're not. So the Lord will do it Himself. You can think of Matthew chapter 13. It talks about the enemy coming and he sowed tares in the field among the good seed. And the men came and they says to the Lord, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And He said, nay. That's why you gather up the tares. You root up also the wheat with them. The Lord says, no, don't be doing it. Because they're going to go out into the field. And they think, well, this here is really a tare. It's a weed. And we'll rip it up. The Lord says, you make a mistake. You can pull up the wheat along with it. Because they couldn't tell the difference. Couldn't tell the same perfection. Going to the same church. Singing the same hymns. Reading out of the same Bible. It's hard to tell the difference. But I tell you this, the Lord knows. The Lord Jesus, friends, knows that this will be a separation that is fair. He will make no mistake. He knows His people. In John 10, verse 14, He says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. He knows. And He knows tonight those who are in darkness, and He knows those who are in the light. And He knows those who are saved and those who are not saved. And He knows those who are converted and those who are not converted. Those who are pardoned and those who are unpardoned. Those who believe and those who believe not. He knows. And on this day He will put that man, that woman in the right group. He'll put them in the right place. And none will say to Christ, "You know, Lord, you've made a mistake. I shall be along with the sheep. You've put me, Lord, in that wrong side. Do you not know me? I went to the Mourne Free Presbyterian Sunday School and the Bible class, and I went to the church services and I heard the gospel preached. Lord, you know me." The Lord does know you. The Lord knows everyone who's before Him, friends, and all of these nations. He knows them all. Now, this separation would be fair. He'll put the sheep on the right-hand side and the goats on the left-hand side. He, friends, will make no mistake at this time, you see. And I want to say to you, friends, He'll put you in the right group. The Lord knows where you stand tonight with Him. He knows about your heart. He knows all about your life. He knows where you'll be in this day. And He will lay His hand upon you, to the right or to the left. He knows. And He'll do it right. And you'll be on the right side, and so will I. I'll be on the right side as well, friends, that Christ puts us. Because this separation is fair. Because of the Savior, He's going to do it. Now, if I was left to do it, or somebody else, we would make mistakes, as I have said. But Christ will do it right. He'll put you on the right side, whether it's on with the goats or the sheep on that day. It's also fair, not only because of the Savior, because of the standard. You see, He used the same standard with each of these people. If you look at verse 35, He says, "For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and so on, and you visited me." Now, He said this to the sheep. He said these things to them. And when He looked at the goats, He said to them in verse 42, "For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in," and so on. And let me say this, the same standard was placed above, before each of them. Not a different standard at all. The Lord Jesus Christ brought the same standard. "I was a hungered, I was thirsty, I was sick, I was in prison." That's what He said to the sheep. That's what He said to the goats. It's the same thing. Now, He's speaking here, friend, can I say, acts of mercy towards His people. Now, He's not speaking here about salvation by works. Nobody can ever be saved just by working, by doing good. That's what Mother Teresa tried to do in the Roman Catholic Church. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. But He's speaking here about a faith that works. Saving faith in the heart of one works. In James 2 verse 17, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." It's not enough to say, "Well, I have got faith." It's not enough to say, "I believe in Christ." Ah, friends, can you prove it? Can you prove it? Not by your words, but by your works. That's what Christ is saying. A person's life, his profession, the reality of his Christianity is seen not in their words, but friends, in their works. It is not profession, but practice. This is the Lord is saying. Oh dear friend, the same standard. The same standard. Now listen, do you love God's people? But this is what He's talking about. Not just doing these things unto Him, but yet in the name of Christ, but to the people of Christ. "You have done it unto one of the least of these, my brother." Do you love God's people? Do you love to be among God's people? Do you seek to help God's people? Do you show this living faith within your heart towards God's people? That's what He's speaking about here in Matthew 25. A living faith, a faith that is alive, a faith that loves, a faith that helps those in their time of need. As I have said, it is not words, but works. That's the same standard. And no, friend, that is true in when people are brought to court. How's a man judged when he goes to court? By his works. What he did. That's what the judge wants to hear, all the evidence about his works. Not just all the words that people say about him, but what he said about himself. He will be judged according to his works. And on this day, the same standard. Works. How are you living your life tonight? Are you living in the world? Are you living it to your friends in sin? Are you living far away from God? You see, the standard is the same. The standard, you see, is Christ, all in relation to Christ. There is Christ, friends, in the middle. The sheep's on the right-hand side and the goats is on the left-hand side. Oh, the standard is the same. It is Christ, friends. Thank God those of us who are saved and love Christ, we will be remembered by the Lord. We do know, according to the Bible, that he even gave a cup of cold water to one of his people, disciples. Well, the Lord will not forget about that. You see, this separation is fair because of the Savior and because of the standard and because of the setting. Because, if you notice in verse 31, it says that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Here's the setting. The setting of this separation, friends, is not in this world. It is before the throne of his glory. Before the throne of holiness. And everyone from every kindred and every nation and every tongue who's alive when Jesus comes will all be gathered before this throne of glory. That's why it will be fair. The Bible tells us in Psalms 47 verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. God has set up the throne of his holiness. Now listen, before the throne of God, the separation will be fair. Who will say, you put me on the wrong side? Who will say to Christ before the throne of glory, well, I shall be along with the sheep? Who will? Nah, none, friends. In verse 31 talks about the holy angels. Oh, the holy angels will all be witnesses to this separation. It all will be done fairly. The Lord comes, friends, from the world, from heaven down to upon the earth to make the separation. This day is coming. The separation is coming before all of us. It's a separation that will be fair because of the Savior, because of the standard, and because of the setting. Can I say it will be a separation that will be fearful? You see, this separation brings division. If you notice the text, it says, he shall separate them one from another. Do you see it? Do you see, friends, this separation? The words one from another. This rending asunder of relationships. He will pluck away the wife from the bosom of her husband. Separate husband and wives. Daughters from mothers. Sons from their father. Brothers will be divided. Sisters will be divided. Close relationships on this day will be torn asunder, you see. You see, it's a separation that will be fearful. One from another. Separated. You can see that in Matthew 24 and verse 40. It says there, there shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men working out in the field. One taken, one left. In verse 41 of Matthew 24, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. It says in Luke 17, verse 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. And so the Lord brings us out into the field and there's people working together. Maybe they've worked together for years. And when Christ comes, there's this rending asunder. One is taken, the other is left. Two women at the mill. One is taken, the other left. Two in the bed. One is taken and the other left. Oh, friends, what a separation will take place when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. You see, a separation that is fearful because it will bring division. And I want you to think on saved. One day you'll be taken away from your family. One day you'll be taken away from your family. And no doubt that in this church and in other churches there's divisions among families. Mothers and fathers saved. Brothers or sisters are saved. Husbands or wives are saved. Whatever the case may be. And some are not saved. Some are still in their sin. Some are still far away from Christ. But oh, dear friends, the day is coming when Christ will take you one from another. He will separate us. You'll be taken away from your husband, taken away from your wife, taken away from your mother, taken away from your father, you see. And one day, can I say this? This congregation will be separated. And there's something to be separated by Christ. And there'll be people who's not saved will be taken away from their parents. And taken away from those that they've loved and those who have cared for them in this world. He shall separate one from another. Do you think of this? Division. Fearful friends to know that Christ will come. And he'll take a hold of that daughter, that son that's not saved, and he'll put them over on the left hand side with the goats. And he'll take that one who is saved, that mother or that father that's washed in the blood of Christ, and he'll put them along with the sheep, and there's a separation. And Christ will do it. I'll tell you, friend, not to be fearful. Can you think about all unsaved on that day when you stand along all the goats, all the unsaved, all the wicked, evil people who lived in this world? There you'll be standing among them. There you'll look over and you'll see your mother or your father or your husband or your wife, whatever the case may be, saved, washed in the blood of a lamb. And there you are. Stand among friends, the goats. He shall separate you. I can tell you. That'll be a fearful day. Can you imagine Christ coming in this congregation tonight and say, right, you on the left, you on the right. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the fear that'll grip your very heart when the Lord Jesus places his hand upon you and says, get over among the wicked, get over onto the left hand side among the goats. Could you imagine? I tell you, friends, your heart will be full of fear. And yet it's going to happen. You can be sure of it tonight, friends. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen, honestly. If I can say it tonight, it's going to happen. You don't want it to happen. You say, you don't plan it, but listen, it is going to happen. He shall come, all nations before him, and he shall separate them, one from another. Separate us. It's a separation that's going to bring distress, can I say. There's nothing as painful as separating. Saying farewells. Saying farewell is a terrible thing to do. I don't know what you think of that, but I do know myself saying farewell something. I was over in Australia for 5 weeks and I found it very hard to say farewell to some people. But it had to be done. Life has to go on. I have to go my way and they have to go their way. We think of Paul in Acts 20, verse 37, leaving Ephesus. And it says, they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him onto the ship. And here's people leaving Paul at Ephesus. And Paul's taking his leave from them. And we find here that they're weeping and they're crying and they're falling on the neck of Paul and they're kissing. You see, because there's something, friends, painful about separating. There's something painful about saying farewell. There's something painful about saying goodbye. It breaks the heart of the hardest man and the hardest woman. You see, it's a painful thing to separate. You see, friends, it brings sorrow, it brings sadness. And can I say to you, see it, how distressing this will be for you to see yourself on the wrong side. To see yourself among the wicked. And to see yourself among the goats, friend. How distressing, how painful, how sorrowful that will be to be on the wrong side. You see, it's Spurgeon, it's a great writer. And he said of this, he said, oh, the wailing of the children, and the wailing of the woman, and the wailing of the husbands, and the wailing of the fathers when their children are saved, or their partners are saved, or their husbands and wives are saved, and they themselves are cast out forever. That's what this mighty man of God who preached to thousands said. He said, oh, the wailing of the children, the wailing of the woman, the wailing of the wives, the wailing of the husbands. Why? Because, friends, it brings this separation, it brings distress. And people will wail, and people will cry. They've said their farewells to their loved ones. They've said their last farewells. They're on the wrong side of this great multitude that stands before Christ. Ah, friends, the sheep's on the right, the goats is on the left. See, he's fearful. It is going to bring distress, friends. Oh, it's not so for the people of God, of course. Verse 34. Come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We were happy. The sheep's all right. The sheep will be all right with Christ. But we're talking about the goats. We're talking tonight about you who's not saved. See, it's going to be fearful. It is going, dear friends, because it will bring destruction. It will bring damnation as well, this separation. Look at their condemnation, verse 41. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. And I want to say tonight, hell is a real place. The devil can mock and laugh and deny hell. People can tell jokes about hell and say, well, when we all get to hell, we're going to have good fun. There's going to be plenty of crack when we get to hell. Friends, there'll be no crack in hell. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Look at their condemnation. Look at their company. Verse 41. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, cast into hell with the devil and his angels. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 and Revelation 20 and verse 10 about the ungodly people cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the old devil and the false prophet are. Oh, look at the company. Look at their condemnation of the goats. Cast into hell with the devil. As Matthew Henry said, it's a terrible thing to lie in a house haunted with devils. What will it be then to be companions with them forever? Friends, this separation. To be separated forever and to be in hell along with the devil and his angels and with wicked people. Oh, can I say to you tonight, this is a fearful separation. He shall separate them, the one from another, the sheep and the goats, you see. It's also going to be fearful because they have no defense. Verse 44, they try to speak up these goats, this people. Then shall they also answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee at hunger, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? And did not minister unto thee. Lord, when did we do this? Surely they're saying to the Lord, well, you've made a mistake. You've made a mistake, Lord. When do we ever see this? And they're trying, in a sense, to defend themselves and to defend their lifestyles. But you can read on down. The Lord Jesus is fair, I say unto you, and so much as you did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. You had no time for my people. You had no time for me. You lived in the world and you lived in sin. And dear friends, have no defense. And I hear people saying, you know, when I meet God, when I meet Christ, I'll tell him. I'll stand up and I'll tell him certain things. I'll be brave. Oh, no problem. I'll say certain things. They'll say nothing. The unsaved, you'll not say anything on that day. You'll have nothing to say. Standing among this group, the goats. Can you picture yourself there? Can you see yourself there? Lost without Christ and in your sin. And the Lord putting his hand upon you. And he says, well, get over to the left. Get in among the goats. I tell you, friend, that's a fearful separation. To know that you're about to be damned. And to know you have no defense. That's a terrible thing. That is a terrible thing on that day to note this. On the day of the great separation. When he shall separate one from another. What a fearful separation is before you, friends. We were singing when the roll is called up yonder. Listen, I'll be there. I'll be happy. But if you're not saved, you'll not be there. You'll not be happy. You'll be in distress, weeping and wailing. You see loved ones saved and you not. What a terrible day is coming in the great separation. Can I say last, it's a separation that is final. This is a final separation. He shall separate them one from another because of the period. You see in Matthew 24 and verse 3, It tells us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world. This is the end of the world. This is the last day, friends. Christ is coming. It is the end of the age. And I want to say, there's no more time after this. The end has come. No more opportunities to hear the gospel. No more opportunities to repent. No more opportunities to believe. No more opportunities to trust Christ. No. It's a separation that is final because of the period of time. It's the end of the world. This is the final separation. In this life, we separate one from another. We go this way and that way, different jobs, different countries, and so on. But here's the final one. It's at the end of the world. It's also final because of the place. Because you'll find there in verse 41, everlasting fire. You'll find in verse 46, life eternal. You see, I want to say, this is a sinner's last move. This is their last move. Christ will move them. This is their last separation. Because of the place. Everlasting fire or everlasting life, you see. Some will go into the kingdom of God rejoicing in Christ. But others will be cast down into hell, you see. It's also final because of the pronouncement. Because look at verse 41. He says, depart from me, you cursed. How solemn are these words. Here's the Lord Jesus looking at this group of people. He's looking at the goats, using here the language of this parable. Here he's saying to them, friends, depart from me. It is no more, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No, he's not saying, come unto me, but he's saying, depart from me. You see, friends, it's a final separation. To be the last words that will hear Christ saying unto them, depart from me. As Matthew Henry said, it is the hell of hell to depart from Christ. Imagine on that day you hear those words, depart from me, friends. That's it. No more opportunities. No more time to get saved. No more opportunities to get right with God. No, too late. See, the final one, because of the pronouncement, because of the punishment. In verse 46, he talks about everlasting punishment. He speaks about life eternal, everlasting life, you see. You see, it is the final separation. It will separate you into eternity. That's it, friends. This is the last separation. He's to separate them, the one from the other, you see. There's goats on the left, the sheep on the right, and the sheep will go into the kingdom of God. And yet it tells us here very, very clearly that the goats will be cast into everlasting fire, lost for all eternity. That's the final separation. That's the end, friends. That's our last move. You see, it's Spurgeon said when he looked at this passage, he said this, beloved, these are such weighty things that while I dwell upon them, I feel far more inclined to sit down and weep than to stand up and speak to you. That's a mighty statement. He thought about the sheep and the goats. He thought about the separation. He thought about the goats being taken and cast into hell. And he said here that he felt more inclined to sit down and to weep. He would rather sit down and cry than preach on this thing. Such friends, it was so solemn. The Lord has separated the sheep and the goats. It's a separation that is final. As one writer said, oh, the horrors of hell is the undying memory of a misspent life. Some remember. And people will remember. People will remember when they're saying, I heard the gospel. I knew I had to leave sin. I knew I should trust Christ. I knew I should believe. I heard my mother praying for me. I heard my father praying for me. My Sunday school teacher. I heard my minister preach to me and plead with me to come to Christ, but I didn't come. Son, remember. Terrible thing to be lost, friend. And Christ will separate them, the one from another. Where are you tonight? On which side are you on tonight? Are you on the left with the goats, perhaps? Are you with the sheep? Redeemed by the blood of Christ? Which side are you on tonight? How?
Maybe you say, no, well, I hope to get on the other side. Listen, it's time you're on the other side. It's time you repented. It was time you come to Christ. How many years do you plan to let go past you before you come to Christ and be saved? How many sermons do you want to hear? How many more opportunities do you want to be given to you before you come to Christ? This could be your last. This could be your last opportunity. Oh, that tonight you would come to Christ. And oh, that tonight you believe the gospel and trust Christ with all your heart, friends. Or it's too late. Thank God you can get across this divide tonight. And there's only one way across, and that is Christ. The one who died and suffered upon the cross and shed his blood, he can save you. He can cleanse you. He can change your nature. He can change the goat tonight into a sheep in a moment. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. He can save you tonight. Do you believe Christ can save you? Do you believe tonight that Christ can cleanse you from all sin? Well, trust him. Turn your heart even where you sit tonight. Say, Lord, save me. I don't want to be among the goats. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be separated forever from my family. I don't want to be separated, Lord, from you. I want everlasting life. He will save you. And he will give you everlasting life. Come then before it's too late. This day of separation is getting closer. Every minute goes past, it's getting closer to it. Every day, friends, every week, we're getting closer to it. Come and trust Christ tonight before it's too late. If God has spoken to any hearts, like to speak to me, what has been said, I'd love to speak with you. I cannot see it yet, but I can show you more clearly from the Bible how to be saved. Settle a matter tonight before it's too late and come and trust Christ. May God give you the grace tonight to come to the Savior. Amen. Let's all close our eyes. Let's have a word of prayer. God's people are praying, and the Lord has spoken to hearts tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for help given to preach the word. We pray you'll speak to hearts. I pray for those who's not saved, that have been shaken by the hand of God. They've seen something of the terrible state they're in, and the terrible predicament, Lord, that faces them. To be separated from their loved ones and be separated from thee and to be cast into everlasting fire forever, all because of sin. Lord, show them the folly of their life and give grace tonight and save the lost and answer prayers. Be with us now. Take us our homes and safety, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.